you probably got the email on that. The boiler is down. It's an old boiler, and it's like a lot of us that are kind of beyond our prime. It needs a replacement part. It's been ordered, but then there's some other plumbing has to be done. So we're going to be here this week for sure. We may be here next week. I'm kind of planning on it. And then hopefully we'll be back in the sanctuary following Easter. So glad to have all of you here this morning and welcome you to this worship service. I know when we change the seating around, sometimes it's hard to know where to sit. But this morning you have an advantage. If you don't like who you're sitting through, every once in a while you can just kind of swat them with your palm. Make yourself feel better in the process. All right. We're so glad to have all of you here this morning. Welcome you to our worship service. We have a few announcements we're going to go through this morning. Things are a little different because it's Palm Passion Sunday. And I just hope and pray this worship service this morning can be a powerful experience for you. Jay?
Thank you, Larry. Welcome, everyone, this morning. It's Palm Sunday.
Keep going.
Just keep going. Okay. All right. I'd like to welcome everyone. I know everyone watching us out there, whether you be in New York, California, Texas, Tennessee, wherever, we are here right here in Carterville area. We welcome you this morning to our service. I'd like to thank everyone that's participated and helped in getting everything together for this service. It does take a lot of people. So Lee and I are doing kind of a tag team here this morning on the announcement, so let her go first.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
I'm Leah Farrar-White, the Director of Adult Ministry, and there are two things that I would like to highlight. This Thursday from 1 to 2 will be our final Creative Lent. It has been a joy for me, and I think it's been a joy for others. Even if you have not attended before, please feel free if this is of interest to you. We will be featured. The topic is Bible journaling, and our guest presenter will be Rosie Weiss. But just show up. All are welcome. The second thing that I would like to highlight is our program, The Young at Heart on the Road. Now, Young at Heart on the Road is a different group each time. We sign up by the clipboard. You can talk to me or call the office, and we travel to area restaurants. In February, we went to Giant City Lodge, and in March, we went to the Castle in Centralia, and April, can you believe it's already April? April, in not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday, we will be traveling to Cape Girardeau. We will eat at Mary Jane's Smokehouse, and I tried it out last week, and the food was phenomenal. Really, really outstanding. After we eat lunch, we will take the scenic route through Cape Girardeau to SEMO's River Campus, visiting the beautiful Cultural Arts Center. And if you have not seen it, it's just lovely. It's right on the river. And the Crisp Museum, they have the best views of the river and the bridge for photo ops and just to take in that beautiful space and see the exhibits at the museum. Then we will return home. If this is of interest to you, again, you can sign up on the clipboards or talk to me. And thank you, Jake, for letting me jump in.
Well, thank you for taking me off the hook here this morning. Continue with the announcements. Easter Sunday, April 9th, coffee break at 8:30, and worship will be at 9:30. And this year, again, we have a variety of spring flowers adoring our altar on Easter Sunday. After Easter, they will be taken to shut-ins from our congregation. Sign up on the clipboards that are coming around at this time if you would like to purchase a flower in honor or remembrance of someone. Don't forget all of the events. Lisa, Leah has talked about several, but there are many on the back of your bulletin that we need to note. Also, at this time, along with the announcements, I'm sure most of you got this letter from Larry. Personally, I feel that this is very important about working when one of the first events that we had with our, should we call it our sister church?
Yeah.
Okay. In Marion, we had those of you that were there, we had a very nice presentation on this well project. And Marion is very, the people in Marion, not just from their church, but many individuals in Marion have been involved in this for this ministry for, so I think, since 1990. And they have installed over 45,000 wells for people that do not have fresh water. And today, $450 can provide a well, a source of clean, dependable, safe water. So next week, the Easter offering will be given toward this ministry. So thank and pray about this project before you make your, how much you can afford to make an offering toward this ministry. And here again, this is something that we, our ministry comes not from someplace away from here, but it started here in our own area. That's been involved, very involved here out of Marion. Are there other announcements at this time? At this time, we will have the lighting of the worship candles. Triumphant entry. This is our first reading today. Matthew 21:8-11 from the New International Version. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." At this time, let's turn to PM number 277. Tell me the stories of Jesus.
Stand,
please. Don't say stand.
Thank you.
Please join in the call to worship. The crowds cheered him when he rode into Jerusalem.
How they loved him.
The crowd shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!"
How they hated him.
Maybe the crowds were different people.
Or maybe we really are ethical.
Please join in the gathering chorus number 171. There's something about that name. Please rise if you're able.
Worship service where we join together in seeking God's plan for our future. Now we're singing the same chorus that we've sung week after week after week, but you know, I brought my book. So I think a lot of you know the chorus, but if you don't, just kind of hum along where you can't remember the words, okay? So let's join together in singing Bind Us Together. We don't know where the future is going to take us. We don't have that information. God doesn't give us because I think God knows we can't handle it. We can't deal with it. What God says instead is trust me. Trust me into your future. Trust me into our future. Trust the love I have for you, the grace that I have for you. And so today as we gather together, I invite us to embrace the future as it comes to us individually, as it comes to us together as a people, trusting and believing that God always has our best and our backs. In your name, let us pray together. Gracious and loving God, Lord, we thank you for the day. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your spirit. We thank you, Lord, that you don't give us the future. And Lord, lots of times we'd like to know it. We would like to have a glimpse into it. We'd like to know what's going to happen. But Lord, we would also be so frightened by it. And so, Lord, we thank you that you limit our vision to today, to the moment in which we are in. Help us, Lord, to trust you for the next one, and the next one, and the next one. That you are present in all of them, guiding us and directing us, individually and together. We know, Lord, that not every day will bring what we want. We know, Lord, that some days will be very difficult. Some days will be filled with challenges. Some days will cover us with grief. But Lord, what we also know is whether we are on the mountaintop or in the deepest valley, you are there with us. And so we give you thanks and praise. Help us to put our full faith and trust in you in this moment and the next. In your name we pray. Amen. As we continue in worship this morning, I'm going to invite John to come forward. He has our prayer book this morning and to share the joys and concerns. And then this morning is the last Sunday. We will be passing around the microphones, but this will be the last Sunday. We won't do it Easter Sunday, but we will do it today. So last week I forgot the response after each of them, but this week we will join in that response. Lord, hear our prayers. It's a work in progress, as are we all.
First off, I'd like to say there's a plethora of joys and concerns, so hang on. First, Levin Fuqua and the Got You Covered Diaper Program would like to thank the Aldersgate Church for their donation of 2,055 diapers. The diapers were bagged and ready for distribution. She would also like to thank Leah Farrar-White and Becky Borgsmiller for their help in getting the diapers into the building.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Please lift up Ray Tolan, who was admitted to the hospital on Thursday for testing.
Lord, hear our prayers.
Please remember the family of Rose Howerton. Rose was the aunt of Doug Bogart, and she passed away this past week.
Lord, hear our prayers.
A concern from Judith Weyberg. The person she's concerned about is Frank Olkowski Jr. He's in Heron Hospital with aging concerns. He has dementia.
Lord, hear our prayers.
A concern from Elizabeth Collins for a friend. He's in kidney failure and being put on transplant list.
Lord, hear our prayers.
From Doris Kiesling, a friend's husband, Philip Meyer, has pneumonia and sepsis.
Lord, hear our prayers.
A joy from Doris Kiesling, having her friend Norma here, having Maggie Wilde, the 8-year-old, great-granddaughter, having a birthday on Monday, and grandson Jordan Kiesling having a 30th birthday on Friday.
Lord, hear our prayers.
From Linda McCollum for her friend Tanya Stewart, my mom's caregiver, lost her daughter to sickle cell last week.
Lord, hear our prayers.
And a card from Doris Kiesling. My dear church family, it is very hard for me to tell you all that this church has meant to me over 52 plus years. We have been through some sad times together. With the support I have made it, There's been a lot of happy occasions, too. One was for my 90th birthday. I can't believe I am 90. We can, Doris. Forgive me, Lord. I'm sorry. I want to thank you all for making it a great time. A lot of food was collected for the pantry, and you helped to make that possible. Thank you all so much. Love, Doris Casey.
Lord, hear our prayers. We're going to pass microphones around if those who are going to be doing that would.
My brother, Don Adams, passed away in Michigan this week on Wednesday. His services are tentatively for April 29th because my sister-in-law had a shoulder surgery and we'd like her to come to the funeral later this month.
Yesterday, I was talking to Doris. I got Doris on my mind. See there? Anyway, I was talking to Sarah Gieselman, and she told me that they were much better. She sounded much better, and the pneumonia, whatever they had, was pretty well gone, and they would be in church today. This morning, I got a phone call about 9 o'clock, and she said John was not doing well. He had a rough night, and they weren't going to be here, and to keep them in our prayers.
I have several things announced. Number one, I think we ought to have services here every Sunday because we have the largest number we've had in a while, 71. And I think we need to keep the children of Nashville in our prayers.
John's doing well, and we're to stage two, both of us, so hopefully we'll be back in church together, not Easter, but maybe the next week.
Lord, hear our prayer. I just want to mention thank you for the prayers and so forth for Ray. He had a slight stroke, but he's doing well, and we hope that progress continues. Thank you.
Just like everybody to know, I have had three of my treatments for the cancer, and it's I've got two more to go. And I want to thank everybody for prayers and the cards, and I really appreciate it. So thank you.
Did you have one? Okay, I invite us to be in an attitude of prayer as we go forward through our worship experience. I invite you to be in prayer in your, well, you know what, you're just going to have to be in prayer in your chair this morning because there's, you can gather with me and stand up here, I guess, but that's
could
about
could we back up just a moment?
I don't know. What do we need
well,
to do,
Jay? Well, we got kind of things a little bit out of order, and I left out some announcements and celebrating the birthdays this week.
Are they printed in the bulletin?
Huh? Yeah, they're printed in the bulletin. Flyers on the altar, anniversaries, all of those printed. Would you like to back up and do our gathering course?
You know what? We're good.
We're good?
We're good, yeah.
Okay.
Those are all printed in your bulletin. Please look at them, okay? All right. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Gracious and loving God, thank you for this day. And Lord, it's not the day we planned, but it's the day you planned. And we are here and we're celebrating and we're worshiping with you this morning. We're so thankful for this season. Lord, and I'm thankful for the joys and the concerns that have been shared this morning. You know, Lord, it's wonderful to celebrate the joys and the blessings that we share together. And it's a great experience, God. But it's also a great experience, Lord, to go through difficult times in our lives and to know that we're not alone. We know, Lord, that you are present, but also, God, we know that others are present with us. And we feel that presence, and we know it, God, through contacts and calls and thoughts and prayers and the gathering that is here, Lord. God, we just celebrate all of that, that sense of living in the midst of this community. And so, God, I ask your blessing to be on us this morning, Lord. I ask that you would surround us, God, with your grace and your love. Lord, I pray that you would just help us to feel and be in your presence this morning. God, hear our prayers as we raise them to you. And God, hear our prayer as we join together now, praying together the prayer that you have taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue in worship this morning, I want to recognize the celebration of our giving. And, you know, this week is a special week for that because as Jake started and thanked the people who were involved this morning, there's a whole lot of people who put in a lot of extra time this week to make this possible this morning. I just want to thank them. That's the giving of time and talents and gifts. And those are the things which enrich and enrich the life of faith community. And so we celebrate that this morning. Would you pray with me as we give thanks and celebration for the giving that is a part of our community? Gracious and loving God, we thank you for the giving, Lord. And we see it in so many ways. And we pray, Lord, for the giving of time and energy and talents that make the life of our church so much richer. We thank you, Lord, for the material offerings as well that support the life of this church, but also those that we can pass out and support others, Lord, who are in need in a variety of different ways. And, Lord, we just lift that up to you. May you bless the gift and the giver on this day. And we ask this, Lord, in your holy name. Amen. The choir is going to share with us this morning. We're looking forward to that.
Second scripture reading is from Luke 23:18-25 from the New International Version. But the whole crowd shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us." Barabbas had been thrown into prison for an insurrection in the city and for murder. Wanting to release Jesus, Pilate appealed to them. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time he spoke to them, "Why? What crime has this man committed? I have found him, no grounds for the death penalty. Therefore I will have him punished and then release him." But the loud shouts and they insistently demand that he be crucified. And their shouts prevailed. So Pilate decided to grant their demand. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder. The one they asked for and surrendered Jesus to their will.
Teresa and I were gone the first Sunday of March. We went up to St. Louis and we watched the Missouri Valley Conference basketball tournament up there. But on Wednesday evening, we got to go to the Fox and see the stage production of To Kill a Mockingbird. Just really well done. Many of us know that story. The book was published in 1960 by Harper Lee. And it's a story that's set in the county of Macomb County, Alabama. And it's a story of a black man who was accused of assaulting and raping a white woman. And set in the 1930s during the Great Depression. And one of the main characters of the story, Atticus Finch, in the stage production was played by Richard Thomas. And so it was just a joy to watch that. But the scene in particular that I'm thinking about is the scene where they've arrested Tom. He's in the jail, their local jail. And all of the people who are protecting the jail have left. And Atticus gets word that there's a mob forming to come to the jail and to take Tom out of the jail and to perform their own justice upon him. And so Atticus gets a pole lamp and a book and a chair and walks down to the jail by himself, going to face the mob. Atticus has two children, a boy by the name of Jim and a girl who's called Scout, and they have a friend for the summer, Dill. And the three of them follow along. And when the crowd comes, Atticus tries to talk them out of what they want to do. And it isn't going very well, and they're getting angry, and they want to just push through. And then, to everyone's surprise, the children barge in. And now Atticus is scared for the life of his children and Dill. And he orders them to leave and to go home, and Jim refuses. He will not leave his dad facing that mob. And Scout recognizes a man in the crowd. It's a guy who's been there at the house a few times. The last time he brought a bag of walnuts because he owes a legal debt, and Atticus is helping. And so she calls him out and says, "Hey, mister." And he is kind of embarrassed now to be singled out of the crowd. And she said, "Well, you know me, I'm Scout. You came by the house the other day with a bag of walnuts, remember? And I go to school with your boy. And by the way, when you go home, would you tell him that Scout says, hey?" And immediately, it begins to fall apart. And he looks around to the group of men and says, "Boys, let's go home." Some of them don't want to. And he insists on the "let's go home." And so Scout, having no idea what she's doing, breaks up the crowd and protects a black man's life. Now, it's a fictional story. But it's true. It's true in the fact that that's how a crowd that becomes a mob works. It's a well-known and documented fact that in those situations, we lose our individual identity and become a part of a group. And whatever the group does is kind of what we would do. That's the reason many times when we get involved in something when we're younger and a mom or a dad or adult says, well, if they all would have jumped off a cliff, would you have? The honest truth is, yeah, we probably would have. Because that's what happens when you get in those situations. That kind of takes us over and we kind of become a part of that. And whatever they do, we do. And as it becomes angry, it moves from a crowd to a mob that doesn't change about who we are and what we are. A number of years ago when I was pastoring at Grace, we went through one of those bad Halloweens in Carbondale. And a drunken gathering turned into a riot, really. And cars were overturned and set on fire. Police officers were assaulted. Windows were broken. There was looting that happened, and it was really ugly. And several students from the university were involved in it, and some of them were arrested, and they were going to be expelled from school. And parents showed up, angry about what was being done, the injustice of what was being done to their student. And the guy that I knew who worked in student affairs said he sat with parents, and they would complain, my child would never do that. My child would never be involved in that. And they would just pull up the videos and show their child smashing windows, assaulting police officers, assisting in turning cars over. And he said to a parent, they sat there and cried. They sat there and cried, watching their little boy or their little girl get caught up in this experience, lose themselves quite literally in the midst of it, and do things in that group that they would have never dreamed of doing on their own, would have never participated in. Many of them. That's true. You know, there's been a lot of study done over the years about crowds and mob mentality, the herd mentality, they call it, and that sense of how when we get in that group, we lose our own individual identity. So that's when you go like to a basketball game and the crowd is yelling and people are on their feet and screaming and yelling and stuff. We do that with greater enthusiasm because we're in the crowd, because we're in the group. We wouldn't go down the street doing that. We wouldn't do that normally, but everybody's doing it around us, so it's okay. Let's all do that, you know? And that's what happens. And unfortunately, if that crowd becomes violent, many times we will not separate ourselves out in the midst of that. And we will find ourselves carried in the momentum of that, participating in those types of things which normally we would never consider and do. We all witnessed this back on January the 6th of 2021. And I'm not making a political statement here this morning. I'm just talking about what a mob does. A peaceful political gathering turned into a violent mob. And I'm not saying anything about the reasons for that, but it just happened and it did it. And about 2,000 people attacked the Capitol building. And we all watched it on TV. We can watch the YouTube video still if you want to. And we look at that and we can't believe it. We can't believe we would act like that. And they smashed windows and they broke through doors and they assaulted officers. They did almost $3 million of damage to the Capitol building. That's a mob. And you take many of those individuals who participated in that and put them on their own. They're not going to walk up and throw a brick through the Capitol window. They're not going to bust down a door. They're not going to assault a police officer. But it's what we do when we get into that environment and we recognize that. And not all crowds turn into mobs. But mobs are when that crowd becomes violent and angry and tears things up. The Bible story for this Sunday talks about two crowds. The first crowd that Jake read about was the crowd that welcomed Jesus into Jerusalem. And they were a crowd of celebration. They were a crowd that was shouting, "Hosanna to the King! Hosanna to the Son of David!" And they were joyful. It was like a parade. A parade is a crowd, but it's a time of celebration. And that's what they were. And the people who were there, they took the branches off of the trees and laid them in the road. They laid their own cloaks down in the road so Jesus could ride over them. They were so taken in the celebration of the moment, so thrilled about what was going on. And then there's another crowd. It's the second crowd Jake read about. It's the crowd that gathers in front of the Roman authority. It's a crowd that is probably pulled together by religious leaders. It is a crowd that's probably been goaded into doing what it's doing, but here it is. Maybe it's some of the same people. Maybe it's all different people. We don't know. But we know they're not celebrating. They're angry. They cry, "Crucify him. Crucify him." And I bet there's some of them don't even know who him is. They are there as people who have come to Jerusalem or live in Jerusalem. And probably most of them, all of their lives, have been powerless nobodies. But here, in this gathering, this angry crowd on the verge of becoming a mob, they collectively have the power to make Rome do what they want Rome to do. And for a moment in that evening, they have power to change an empire. And it's intoxicating. And they are thrilled with it. And they really don't even care about what they're calling for or what they're doing. They are filled with emotion. They are following the loudest voice, whatever it calls, whatever it says. That's what they want. And they are a part of the crowd, giving everything they have to it. As people of faith, we find ourselves in crowds. Hopefully not very often in mobs. But as people of faith, we never arrive or receive our authority, or should, from the crowd. That shouldn't be who tells us how to act and what to do. We shouldn't be told by others what's right and wrong. We shouldn't be dragged by popularity or popular trends or the current fads. As people of faith, we should really only have that one ultimate authority in our lives, and that's God. It's the presence of God. It's the teaching of God. It's the voice of God. It's the understanding of God. That is the authority. That is the voice that you and I should follow. It is a voice of truth. It is a voice of love and compassion. It is a voice of direction. And sometimes, I believe, it is the voice of the one who stands and faces the crowd and says, "You know what? I'm not going to listen to that." Or who says, "You know, I don't appreciate that humor." Or who says, "You know, I don't care for that story." Who listens to the other voice and lives according to that standard. And not the standard of the crowd or the mob, but the standard of the one. who we call Lord. Would you pray with me? Almighty and gracious God, we don't always get that one right, God. And you know it, and we know it. So we just confess that this morning, God. Yes, many times we are swayed by what's popular. We are on the trend. We even listen to the crowd when we should pause and listen to you. But Lord, help us to live a life that enjoys a relationship with you, that enables us to hear your voice, even in the midst of the noise of the world, and to stand alone if needed, to speak that one word against the cruelty and the brokenness and the injustice that we see around us. In your name we pray. Amen. I'd like to invite us, or you, as we are able, to turn in your hymnal to number 288, stand together, and sing the verses of Were You There? Now, we're going to do this a little differently this morning. The congregation is going to sing together the first three verses, and then after we get to verse 4 and 5, those will be led by others as well. So, if we would, I'd invite us again to stand as we are able, join together as a congregation, and sing the first three verses. I'd like to invite those who are involved in the stripping of the sanctuary, as we begin singing, if they would make their way forward. I just want to remind us, we strip the sanctuary to remind us that Jesus is placed in a tomb, and we wait for the resurrection. And if it does not come, we're not a church anymore. Would you stand together and sing the first three verses of hymn 288? I invite those who are assisting in the stripping of the sanctuary to make their way forward.
Thank you.
mighty and gracious God, as we go forth from this place, in the week that reminds us that there's nothing about this relationship that is cheap or free, the week that reminds us of the unimaginable depth of your love for each of us, may your presence go with us. May it bless us and keep us. May it bring us back together again to celebrate the glory and power of your presence in our lives and in our world. In your name we pray. Amen. Folks, have a great week this week.